2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse 10. So we're beginning Gospel Focus Month. We did this last year. We're going to do it again this year. Focusing on the gospel during the month of July. Focusing on getting the gospel out, sharing Jesus Christ with the people that are around us. And we'll talk a bit more about that at the end, but as we think about this, as we think about the gospel and we think about our responsibility as Christians to share what we know, I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read starting in verse 1 down through verse 10. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that we've received. We're thankful that someone at some point shared the gospel with us. Lord, that we have trusted in you as our Savior. But Lord, we understand that we have a very real and important responsibility to share what we know with others. So Lord, we ask that you would help us be confronted with this truth. Help us to be reminded of this. Lord, challenge us to be more like you and to share the gospel. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Dr. Jeffrey Wigand was an American biochemist, and he's worked for several different healthcare companies. He's worked for Johnson & Johnson. He also worked for Pfizer. But then he was hired at a company named Brown & Williamson, and they were a tobacco company based out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and they were later bought by the British American Tobacco Industries. And so he started working for them in 1989. He was the vice president of research and development. And he worked at this company for 4 years before they fired him. So he was fired in 1993. But then in 1996, he went on CBS's 60 Minutes, and he gave an interview with them. And he told them that the tobacco companies understood the dangers of nicotine, and he had done all the research on this, and he says they're hiding it. They're not being honest with how dangerous nicotine is. And then he went on to say not only that, but they are putting in ammonia and other known carcinogens that are intended to enhance the absorption of nicotine into the body and also make it more addicting. And he says, I was doing all this research, telling him all these things, all the dangers of these cigarettes and these tobacco products, and yet they were ignoring all of that. They weren't telling anybody how dangerous this was. Not only that, they were actively trying to make it worse to sell more of their product. And so he came out and spoke the truth as he had learned and all the research that he had done. And because of that, he faced death threats, he faced lawsuits from the company. There was a lot of intimidation that was going on to try and get him to be silent. But he said, "I can't." He goes, "I know the truth and I have to get it out." And all of a sudden it came to light that there was this whole conspiracy in this industry, that they knew the issues, they knew the problems, and yet they were willing to cover it up and hide it for money. And it just took one man to go, "I'm going to tell the truth," and kind of break the seal on this conspiracy. And he stepped up and told the world the truth that it needed to hear. Now, for us today, there is a grand spiritual conspiracy out there to keep people from the truth, to keep people from hearing the gospel. Satan doesn't want people to know the truth. He does not want people to hear the gospel and be saved. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that there is this work of, in verse 4, blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what Satan is trying to do. He is trying to keep the light of the gospel from shining into the minds of people. He's trying to blind their minds to the truth. And this world needs people that are willing to step up and speak out and share the truth. Someone who is willing to get the truth out. And Satan is working hard at this, blinding the minds of these people. And there's a lot of strategies that he employs. One of them is distraction. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. If we're going to do this work of getting the gospel out and focusing on it in the month of July, we need to know what we're up against. We need to know the battle that we're facing. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, as Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Ephesus, to these believers, he tells them wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. So he says, this is what you were before you were saved. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And he talks in verse 3 just about all the busyness of life and all the distractions that are out there that keep us from realizing what we really need. And this is what Satan does. He tries to provide so many things that keep so many people busy, and it keeps them from understanding how empty this life really is without Jesus Christ. But they're just so inundated with media and everything that occupies every moment of a person's time, where they just don't have time to realize how empty they really are. It's like if you took like a colander or a sieve and you tried to fill it with water. If you have a big enough flood of water going into that sieve, you could fool yourself that it was full. If you just have like a torrent of water flowing into that colander, you'd be like, yeah, it looks pretty full. But the moment that flood is turned off, you realize just how empty it is. But this is what Satan is doing. All these distractions, all of these things that just fill people's minds so that they don't think about what they're missing. That they don't understand how empty everything is and how shallow everything is without Jesus Christ. And Satan is just providing all these distractions. And there are people that are out there, as it says in verse 3, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, pursuing all of these things, not realizing what they're missing. So he uses distraction. There's something else. Another strategy he uses, that is, he likes to clutter the issue, right? Because even if people understand that they need the truth, well, the question is, which one is the truth? There's so many religions. There's like 4,000 known world religions. You look at them and go, there's so many options, right? There's almost too many options. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All of these religions claim to be the truth. They all say, no, this is the way, this is what you have to do, and their version of heaven and God and all of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 3. It says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Right? Turned unto fables, unto things that are not the truth. They're going to go after all of these other things because how do you know what's the truth? How do you know which one is the right one? And this is what Satan does. He's provided so many things that all claim to be the truth and all claim to help and solve your problems. But there's only one truth, and that is the Word of God. But Satan wants them to, even if they search for the truth, not know where to find it, not know which one is the truth. But there's something else. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Another strategy, and that is that he actively works to ridicule the truth. And in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, It says, knowing this first, 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. And then he goes and talks about what they're making fun of, but they're making fun of the truth. And there are voices in this world that are mischaracterizing Christianity, that are painting this straw man argument of what Christianity is and then tearing it down and saying, look, there's nothing to this. There's no truth in it. And there's voices that then will pick up on instances of hypocrisy in Christianity and then group all Christians as such and say they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. They don't have the truth. They're really no different than you. And there are so many voices out there that take the truth and just tear at it and try and ridicule it. And there's even, and it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, there's even Christians that are very deceitful in preaching Jesus and doing it selfishly and for their own motivations and quote-unquote Christians that are using it just for themselves, to promote themselves. And all that paints it in the truth in a bad light. And so you have this work of Satan to take the truth and to make a mockery of it and tear it down in people's eyes. And all of this serves to keep people from Jesus Christ. This is what Satan wants. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. He doesn't want them to see their need, so he keeps their lives so busy. And then if they do sense a need for the truth, he doesn't want them to be able to find it in the mix of everything. But then even if they do come across what is true, he wants them to be predisposed to make fun of it. And if, I've heard about this before, and I've heard about what Christianity really is. He does all of this, layer on top of layer, to keep people from the truth. Their eyes have been blinded to the gospel. And if we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 3 that if our gospel be hid, if they're kept from it, if they don't see it, it says it's hid to them that are lost. That's the problem. The problem is that they're lost. If they don't see the gospel, they're lost. If they don't see that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, it means that they are lost. There was a man named Lucas McClish, and he left his home in Boulder Creek, California. He was going for a hike. It was just supposed to be a three-hour hike. It was one Tuesday afternoon in 2024. And he was going to go for a hike in the Santa Cruz Mountains. But as he went on this hike, a wildfire had gone through not long before, and it had really altered a bit of the terrain, and he lost the trail. And he kind of wandered off the trail, and then when he realized he was off the trail, he couldn't retrace his steps. He got disoriented and couldn't find his way back to the trail. And it took several days for him to be reported missing, and then it took more days after that for them to find him, but eventually they did find him. It was 10 days after he went on this hike. But he spent 10 days because he lost the trail and wandering in the mountains. And this is the state of the world. They're just wandering. They are lost. They don't know which way they're supposed to be going. They don't know where the trail is. They don't know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lucas, he was rescued. He had people find him. That's what this world needs. They need someone to go find him and say, hey, listen, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. This is what you need. We are sent out into a world that because their eyes have been blinded to the truth, they are lost. And we know the end result of that. We know what it means to be lost, even if they don't. We know that it means an eternity in hell separated from God when they die. That's what it means to be lost. And we have a world that is searching, and if they are searching, they don't know what they're searching for. They don't know where to find it. We have the truth. We know who Jesus Christ is. And we can talk about the world in general, but really in our hearts and in our minds, we need to make it more specific, because the world is very generic, but it's our neighbors. It's our coworkers. It's some of our family members. It's people that we see on a regular basis. It's people that we have relationships with that are in this condition, that are lost, that don't know the truth. They don't see their need for the truth. The gospel has to get out. The gospel has to go to these people that are around us. Someone has to tell them the truth. And it means having conversations about the gospel with people and trying to bring it up in conversations. It means handing people tracts that maybe you don't have time to spend a lot of time with. We just take one of those pieces of paper that tells the gospel and you hand it to them and say, here, this is for you. Maybe it's just, it's making sure we maintain a good testimony. That all they've heard about hypocrisy in Christians, they don't see it in us. They see the truth, they see the change that Jesus Christ has made in us. And Paul is addressing this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's addressing the desperate need for the gospel, that people have been blinded to the truth, that they are lost, and that someone needs to tell them. But also in this passage, he addresses the difficulties of that, the difficulty of sharing the gospel. It's not always easy. And if you've spent time sharing the gospel, you understand it's not always easy to go out there and talk to someone about Jesus Christ, tell them they're a sinner. It can be hard to share a tract with someone. It's not easy to present the gospel. And it's because a lot of the difficulty isn't because of the opposition out there. A lot of it is because of the opposition that resides right in here, in our hearts. It's the struggle of our flesh to give out the gospel. And so I want to spend the rest of our time on this thought. What's it going to take for us to get the gospel out? What's it going to take for us to share the gospel? Because it's easy to romanticize soul winning and missions. And we think about missionaries that go to these foreign fields and you know, they're just out there preaching the gospel. And it's easy to like have this wonderful picture of all of that. But Paul doesn't do that. He's very honest about the struggles and the difficulties and what it takes to go and share the gospel. And if we're going to do Gospel Focus Month, we have to be honest with ourselves about what it's going to take. And that it's. I don't want you to go out into this month thinking, it'll be super easy. And then the moment you run into opposition from within, from yourself, that we go, I didn't know it was going to be this way. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. And then we walk away from that. So what's it going to take here as we look at our passage? Here's the first thing in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's going to take faithfulness. It's going to take faithfulness on our part. Therefore, Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, he says, we faint not. We faint not. I don't think I've ever fainted. I've knocked myself out, and I'm going to save that illustration for another time. You'll have to come back and hear that one at some point. Maybe I've already told it. I don't remember. But I don't think I've ever fainted. But it doesn't necessarily mean to like pass out. It's got the idea of you're just exhausted. You're just tired. You're worn out. It even can mean to lose courage. And all of a sudden, like fear takes over. It can be a physical sort of weariness and a physical fainting. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be spiritual. It's just got the idea of that it's hard and you've been doing it, but now you're worn out. And I'm sure Paul experienced physical exhaustion at times, right? This guy walked places. He walked vast distances to get to these different places. I'm sure he was extremely tired at points in his life. I'm sure he also dealt with like the mental exhaustion of dealing with these people and trying to win them to the Lord. I'm sure he dealt with spiritual exhaustion, or he was just tired of the struggle and tired of the battle. Every time we try and do something for the Lord, it's going to be a battle because there's opposition that we face, right? And the Bible tells us this. It talks about Christian warfare. We're going to have to fight to share the gospel. We're going to have to battle to share the gospel. Not fighting against the people we're talking to. Really, we're going to have to fight against ourselves. We are going to have to battle our flesh to share the gospel with people. And fighting those spiritual battles gets tiring. It gets exhausting. And to make it through Gospel Focus Month, consistently sharing the gospel and doing our responsibility and really pushing ourselves to share the gospel more than we do, it's going to take faithfulness on our part. It's going to take a commitment to be consistent and to continue to fight for this month. And in a little bit, we're going to get to how we can be faithful, how we can maintain our commitment and our consistency. But if you go with me first to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, in our passage, verse 1, it says, as we have received this ministry. Because this is a ministry, a responsibility we've been given from the Lord to do this. We've been given the gospel as stewards of the gospel. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When Paul talks about the mysteries of God, he's talking really about the workings of the gospel. And Paul says, this has been given to us. We are ministers. We are stewards. The idea of like a caretaker. We are caretakers for the Lord, and we're caretakers of the gospel. He's given it to us in our possession. And then he says in verse 2, he says, all right, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He says, this is what God is looking for from us, those who have the gospel, that we're faithful to do the ministry of holding to the truth and being faithful to the truth and then being faithful to share the truth, right? That's the responsibility we have, to make sure that we are preaching the gospel honestly and that we are indeed preaching the gospel. God's looking for faithfulness. That's what he's looking for us this month, is just to be faithful, to continue to share the gospel, to continue to preach it, to maintain a good testimony throughout this month, to see the opportunities that you have and take those opportunities to hand out a tract or to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. There are going to be times in this month where we are not going to feel like it, or we're just tired. We've had it with people. we've all gotten to those places where like, I just want to, you know, not have to talk to people. And there's going to be times where we're going like, I don't want to do it. I know I'm supposed to, and I have a track on me, and I know I should hand it out. But for whatever reason, I just don't feel like it. It's in those times we just got to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, that we fight through those feelings of not feeling like it and that opposition that our flesh gives in all those different ways. And we share the gospel. We tell someone about Jesus Christ. It's going to take faithfulness. But here's what else it's going to take. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, not only is it going to take faithfulness, it's going to take dependence. It's going to take faith. It's going to take trust. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's going to take dependence. So God has taken this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the truth, the light, that precious, valuable gospel, and he's placed it in you and me, right? It's in our hearts. It reminds me of that fun kids game, the classic the egg toss, right? And we've probably all done this as we were kids, right? So the kids, they take an egg and they toss it back and forth, and then they increase the distance. They're trying not to drop it. They're trying not to break the egg. And the team that wins is the team that is left standing with the unbroken egg. And when a team of kids, when those two kids, the winners, come down to the end, we don't look at them and go, it's because your egg was the strongest. You know, you have an unbreakable egg, right? That egg, it just will not crack. No, we're like, you did a good job, right? You were very skillful in throwing it right, giving good throws, and then you were skillful in catching it, right? It's not about the strength of the egg. It's about how the skill of the person that was handling that. And that reminds me of like this dynamic between us and God, right? Because we are that weak and frail and fragile vessel, yet in the hands of a powerful and skillful master, in the hands of God, God can do great things. And that's what Paul is saying. He goes, as you are like this holder of the gospel and this keeper of the gospel, this steward, he goes, don't go out there thinking it's all about you and what you can do and how tough you have to be and how great you have to be. He says, God has done this for a reason. He says, so that the excellency may be of God and not of you. And you know what Paul calls us and what God calls us through Paul? We're earthen vessels, which is a pot or container that was made of clay, right? And they weren't unbreakable. And when it talks about an earthen vessel, they weren't even really made to be beautiful. They were just made to hold something. And that's who we are, right? God has made us to hold the gospel and then pour out the gospel to this world. And in Isaiah 40 and verse 30, it says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." There's this description of just the weakness of humanity. That we're not unbreakable, but that we are frail and weak in who we are. And this is why we struggle to be faithful, because of the weakness of who we are, because of our flesh. This is why there's this constant battle that we feel to preach the gospel and to talk to someone about Jesus and to get out of our comfort zone and hand out a tract. We're earthen vessels, right? We are weak. We are frail. But knowing this then, how do we respond? Knowing how weak we are and how much we're going to struggle, how do we respond? Well, we read Isaiah 40 and verse 30 that talks about how weak we are. The very next verse, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Those that trust in the Lord, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Knowing how weak we are, the plan is to just trust in God and depend upon Him every moment for the strength that we need to do what He has asked us to do. And our frailty comes out in a lot of different ways. It comes out in with us saying, I don't know what to say to people. We've all probably said that, right? I don't know. What am I going to say? I don't know how to, you know, share the gospel. I know what the gospel is, but I seem like I do a really bad job telling people about it. Or I don't have opportunities. I just don't have a lot of chances. Or I get nervous and chicken out. You know, I know I'm supposed to, and then I don't. Or all of these sort of things, right? And our frailty comes out in all of these thoughts and these sayings that we have. I'm sure we've all had these thoughts and others like them. But this is why we need to trust in God. This is why we need to bathe this whole month and our lives in prayer. And that's one of the habits that we focus on in Gospel Focus Month, trying to form the habit of praying every morning for the gospel and praying for ourselves to be faithful to preach the gospel. And what we do is we take all of these concerns about who we are and what we're able to do and what we can't do and all of our shortcomings. We take all of these and we just bring them to the Lord. We take all our cares and we cast them upon Him, and we trust that God will then help us know what to say. And even in the ways that we stumble and maybe make mistakes and stutter our way through it, that we say, well, God can still use that, and I trust God in that. That we just say, Lord, I'm trusting You to use this earthen vessel. If God wanted, He could have made us the most fluent people that never make mistakes, that know every answer and everything, but He didn't. He made us who we are, and He says, that's what I'm going to use. He says, I'm going to use people just like you. And so we take all of our concerns and we leave them with God. We say, I'm just going to trust You. I'm going to go out and say something. I'm going to hand out a tract. I'm going to speak to someone about the gospel and trust that God will take my efforts and use them. I'm going to trust that God will help me remember, because sometimes I forget. I'm going to trust that God opens my eyes to these opportunities and that He'll bring them to my attention. And then He'll give me the courage to act on these things. And then God will bring about the results that He desires. But it's going to take dependence. It's not going to take us in pulling up ourselves up by our bootstraps, saying, I'm good enough, I've got this, I can do this. It's going to take us praying all throughout the day, saying, Lord, You've got to help me. Lord, give me the strength that I need. Give me the wisdom that I need. It's going to take dependence. Giving out the gospel requires faithfulness. It's going to take dependence and trusting in God. And you know, really that, this whole relationship with us as earthen vessels and the power of God, it shows just how great God is and how amazing God is. That He can accomplish something as miraculous as salvation and allow us to have a small part in taking that message to someone. That God can do that and let us have a part in it. It shows just how amazing God is. But you and I, we're going to have to pray a lot this month if we're going to be faithful. If we're really going to be faithful to preach the gospel and share the gospel, it's going to take a lot of dependence on our part. But then here's the last thing. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if we look down in verse 8. So it's going to take faithfulness, it's going to take dependence. And then if we look in verse 8 down to verse 10, it's going to take sacrifice as well. Verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's going to take sacrifice. It took sacrifice on the part of Jesus Christ to bring about our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul defines what the gospel is. And he says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Right? Paul says, that's what the gospel is. That's what brought about salvation. It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins. That God saw the world and he saw the sinfulness of this world. And then he sent Jesus Christ to die, but specifically to die as a sacrifice. There's a lot of types of death, but specifically Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice, which means to die in someone else's place, to die so that someone else doesn't have to die. And Jesus died in your place, right? He sacrificed himself for you, for your salvation. And the fact of our sin meant that all of us deserved to die. That was the punishment, right? Sin had to be punished by death. But Jesus Christ took all of our sins upon himself and he died in our place. He was that sacrifice. Salvation took sacrifice to provide. And it's because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that he could offer salvation to every single person. So it took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to bring about salvation. But it's going to take another sacrifice to bring the message of salvation to the world. And that's a sacrifice on our part. And Paul says in verse 10 that he was bearing about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Jesus multiple times told the disciples that they needed to take up their cross and follow him, that they need to be willing to sacrifice to serve him. And Paul says, I'm going to do this too, that this dying reveals the life of Christ, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. To show, he says, I'm doing it to show what Christ has done in me, and then also to reveal what Christ can do in you, right? To show what eternal life really is. And Paul says that work takes dying. It takes sacrifice. And Paul mentions in verse 8 and 9, he talks about all the difficulties that he went through, the sacrifices he made in enduring persecution and trouble. And you can read through the end of the book of Acts and read about how Paul was beaten and stoned and thrown in prison for the gospel. And he says, I was willing to do this, to make these sacrifices to bring the gospel. Others in the book of Acts were killed for the gospel. They were willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for the gospel, to share the gospel. If they were willing to make that sacrifice to, as Paul put it, to be persecuted and to be stoned and beaten and for others to be killed for the gospel, can't we make the small sacrifices that we're going to face this month? And if Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice himself on the cross, how can we turn from any sacrifice we might be asked to make for the gospel? And there will be sacrifices. Probably not to the extent that Paul went through, but we're going to have to sacrifice some time to share the gospel. Just as a matter of fact, it takes time to share the gospel. It might mean going out of our way and adding on time to our day in order to share the gospel with someone. It's going to be a sacrifice that we're going to have to be willing to make. Another sacrifice that we're going to have to make is probably a sacrifice to our pride, to humble ourselves to hand out a tract or to bring up Jesus Christ to someone, not knowing how they're going to react. And they may look down on us. They may criticize us for that. It might mean we're going to have to sacrifice some of our pride in order to preach the gospel. But when we think about the people that we're sharing the gospel with, is it really too much to ask to sacrifice a little time and to sacrifice our pride for a person's salvation, to share the gospel with someone, to give them the opportunity to be saved from an eternity in hell. Is the little sacrifices we're asked to make really that big of a deal? Paul said, you know what I'm willing to do? I'm willing to give my life to share the gospel. He says, that's how important this is to the people that I come across. It's going to take some sacrifice this month for us to share the gospel. It's going to take faithfulness. It's going to take dependence. And it's going to take sacrifice. But we've been given this mission. We've been given a job to do. And in Gospel Focus Month, in the month of July, we really try and just turn our attention and our focus to the gospel. Because there's times where we just start to drift away and we just forget. You know, we get distracted by other things, and it's good for us to really spend some time focusing on this as our mission and as our responsibility and as our goal. And we set a goal for ourselves last year. I think we set the goal of 5,000 tracts to just hand out in a day-to-day life, right? Not necessarily organizing specific times to go out and put them on doors, but just as we go about our life, because we want to build in that habit of just as we live our life, talking to people about the gospel. So we set a goal of 5,000 tracts, and we didn't even come close. I really overestimated how many people we see, I think, daily. So I've adjusted our goal. Last year, we handed out a little under 1,300 tracts the entire month. So this time, our goal is going to be 1,500 tracts, just as we go about our lives meeting people. So we're going to try and keep track. Now, I know July technically doesn't start till Tuesday, but I will give you a head start this for Gospel Focus Month. I will let you start today. So you can pass our tracts today and tomorrow. We're going to try and keep track, and I'm not going to be, like we said last year, we're not going to be a stickler. If you come down to the end of the week and you're like, I think it was 10, that's fine, right? 10 on, and then we have, if you go down in the lobby underneath the TV, there's a box and cards next to that. You just write the number of tracks you passed out, put it on the card, put it in the box, and we'll keep track. We're going to help motivate ourselves, right? And try and just have this as a reminder to us. But as we said last year, there's really two habits we're trying to form in this month and then maintain through the rest of the year. One of those that we talked about this morning is every morning when we get up, let's pray about the gospel. Let's pray for ourselves to have the strength that we need to all sorts of things, right? To see the opportunities, to be faithful, to take those opportunities, to have a good testimony. Let's pray for the people that we're going to meet for their salvation, for them to get saved. But just praying about the gospel. And then even throughout the day, but specifically in the morning to set our mind for that task. And then number two, the other habit is taking tracts with us throughout the day. Figure out some way to carry them with us throughout the day, because you can't hand them out if you don't have them, right? But if you have them, if they're on your person, it's like you remember more. They're right there. You feel them in your pocket, or you open your purse and there they are, or something, or they're right there in like the on the dashboard of your car or something. It's there to remind us to share these. But forming those two habits, because we understand how important this is. It's not just a fun thing to do as a church. You know, it's not just because we're bored during the month of July. It's because this matters. This matters to the people around us. This matters for their eternity and for their souls. And there's probably people that you're going to come across that have family members that are praying for them, that are praying for them to get saved. And God has put you across their path, and He's trusting that you are going to be faithful to share the gospel, to give them the truth. There's a world that needs to know this. We need to push ourselves this month to really get out of our comfort zones. We get in a rut and live a life that's comfortable, and it can be hard to get out of that and to really do things that are uncomfortable, but it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's because God has told us to do this. There's people all around us that are blind to the truth, that are deep down searching for something that they may not even know what they're wanting and what they're looking for. But we know, and God has given it to us. And He says, all right, now I want you to be faithful. do this. Trust me, be dependent on me, and be willing to sacrifice. That's what it's going to take. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel, if we're going to reach our community, if we're going to reach the people that God has placed in our lives, this is what it's going to take. We need to be up to the task. Gospel Folks Month, let's focus on preaching the gospel and sharing Jesus Christ. Let's ask God to work and to really do something in us and then in the people we meet. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful that we've been told the truth, that someone has shared with us the truth of salvation. Lord, as we've received this ministry, Lord, help us not to faint. As we focus on the gospel this month, help us to be faithful and to trust you, to sacrifice, to do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, we trust you. Lord, we lay all of this in your hands, trusting you for the results, trusting that you will do the work that you see is necessary. But Lord, help us to be the stewards of the gospel that we're supposed to be. So Lord, work in our hearts now. We pray to convict us, challenge us. Lord, may we be faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.